The Bird Show.
Brandon called us and he has fallen in love with his roommate.
So we've been roommates for about 2 years now. I guess because we just spend so much time together and I really get to see who she is behind the scenes. Every girl I go out with, this girl's great, but I always see myself comparing them to her. I find her attractive. I guess she finds me attractive. But it's one of those, like, she's always had a boyfriend. And then I just really got to know her. And I was, man, she really is a cool person, you know? I don't want to be the rebound guy. You know, I feel like if I don't say something that someone's going to steal her. At first, I think it was more of just a crush because we really just hung out a lot together. And I really got to know her. But, man, I really love this girl. But I'm afraid that I don't want to blow the friendship.
Aww. So we talked to Brandon a little bit, and the women of the Bird Show and the women in the Bird Show community said, look, there are probably things she's been doing over the last couple of years that may give you an indicator if she's into you or not.
Mm-hmm.
And some of those, like Wendy said, was if she cuddles up next to you on the couch while you guys are watching a movie.
Maybe she has a blanket or a pillow, or she leaves her door cracked so you can peek in.
Does she wear when she's getting changed or using the toilet.
Right. Does she wear cute pajamas around the house and care about what she looks like, or does she just like slop around in old sweats and no makeup?
Does she posture up? Does she sit in cool positions to maybe accentuate her booty?
Mm-hmm. I think Melissa said it yesterday. Good posture means she likes you.
That's right. That's right. Man, that if a woman is like, oh, yeah, she's sticking out something for you.
Hey.
Yeah.
Hey.
So we sent Brandon, just think of the last, year. And has she done some of these things? Sit around the apartment, see if any of these subtle indicators are there to let him know if he should make a move or not.
And I was nervous because I thought, can he go home and just be subtle about it and just observe? Or is he going to ask questions he shouldn't and start saying things he shouldn't say?
Because now he's looking at her through the eyes of somebody that might have a chance. So everything she does is going to be like, yes.
Yeah.
She asked me to go ahead and use the remote last night.
She loves me.
It's a sure sign. Hey, Brandon.
Hey, guys.
Anything happen, now that you knew what the subtle things were to look for? Anything happen that might give you an indicator that, yeah, there might be a little chance here?
Well, we were watching TV, and out of nowhere, she asked if she can get me something, and so she went and got me a beer from the refrigerator.
Okay.
Anybody?
Well, she may have been getting herself something, was just being polite.
Do you think that maybe Wendy's in your head now with all of her subtle signs and everything that she does?
Yeah, I think my head's still going to blow up. Mm-hmm.
Was she sitting close to you on the couch, or were you guys on opposite sides of the couch?
Well, here's the thing. We're watching TV, and then she stretched out, and she put her legs on my lap.
There you
That's
go.
Good.
Booyah!
That is
all
a
right.
good sign.
Wendy?
That's a clear sign. I would do that.
Okay. She loves you. Mm-hmm.
Now, would you also do that with a guy friend if you felt comfortable enough with that guy friend and you thought there's no way he's interested in me, there's no way he'll hit on me? Would you put your feet on his lap?
See, no, I wouldn't do that to Adam Baum. I don't know.
No?
That'd be awkward.
That's a really good point, though, Jen. Like, maybe she's gone so far over to the we're just friends side that she would do that also.
She's overly comfortable.
Because I think I would. Like, if you were just overly comfortable on the friend side, I think I would. So I don't know if that one's as clear as we think.
It's a good one.
But at least there's a comfort level, and a non-sexual intimacy level there that's established. So I still think that, these are signs on how safe it is for you to talk to her. Because I do think that you eventually have to tell her how you feel. But at least I think these are signs that she's not going to, kind of reject you harshly.
We need to give him, concrete homework assignments.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you have been in this situation before, and your roommate turned into your lover. And it ended up being a really serious relationship for a very long time. Then how did you make that move? It's a difficult thing to travel down because I think in most cases, like the first time the two of you hook up, it's generally over alcohol.
Yeah.
Like the chemistry is sort of there and then it's booze that puts you over the edge. But if you're not going to go that way, then what do you do?
That's a great point.
Or what have you done?
My friends that were friends before or best friends or whatever and crossed the line, it usually was alcohol induced.
That's just it's like the universal lubricant. Like it just makes everything go smoother. Everything.
Good morning.
Everything.
Oh, we get it.
We got it.
Amy, you're on Q100. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good. You have some advice here for Brandon?
Yes, it is just so nice to hear this because it just brings back a lot of old feelings. I went through the same thing. I ended up marrying my roommate. We're expecting our first baby any day now. So,
congratulations.
We have a really good relationship, and I couldn't imagine not have married, not being married to him. And I just love to hear that he's in love with her, and I just want him to go for it so much just because of my good story. But
well, outside of, like, right off the bat, just sitting her down going, look, I'm having these feelings for you. Mm-hmm. What can he do that would give him better insight that this is going to be okay? Or to slowly let her know that this is a direction that it's going in. Ideally, I think the best game plan is doing something that she sort of feels like it's heading down that direction. And if she's not comfortable with it, she can subtly sort of turn him down without really turning him down.
And it doesn't have to be so awkward.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. But how did it happen with how did it happen with you and your husband?
Well, my situation is totally different. It was actually my roommate's boyfriend that she had brought into to live with us.
Oh, damn.
Oh, yeah. So it's like drama in itself. But as it turned out, he moved out, and we ended up dating. And so, and then I got married. So it's, I guess, a little bit different story.
Were you your maid of honor?
Yeah. No.
Can you give him any advice on what he can do?
Tell her.
No, I mean, it's too soon.
If he had not have told me, I never would have done it. Never. And so I don't know what else to say, because my situation, if he hadn't have told me, I wouldn't be married right now and I wouldn't be extremely happy.
What were the words he used? Like, how did he tell you?
We actually went to a football game at Auburn. And when we got there, we spent a weekend together, just us. And I just saw qualities in him that I was looking for that I never thought about until just me and him were together.
Okay, here's one thing. Here's what I'm taking from that right now. Now, it's not an Auburn game, but is there something, Brandon, that you can do with her for a full day where you
Absolutely.
Guys are one-on-one with each other for a full day, so maybe she'll get the same, have the same thoughts that this listener had also?
Like tantric lovemaking.
Subtle, again. Right. Really subtle.
Is there an opportunity to do that?
What I was thinking was maybe, you know, go out to eat or something, but not asking her on a date, but maybe like saying, like, I want a gift card from work and say that I got to use it by this weekend. And if she says
Good
yes,
news.
Then, you know, maybe she's definitely interested.
So you're almost tricking her into a date.
Well, I guess.
That's a good move.
But if she says no, then I know she's not interested at all, right?
I don't know if that's the right move to make or not. Because even as a friend, if somebody said, hey, I got a gift card and I got to use it by this weekend, you want to go? Even if it's a good friend of mine, I'd be like, well, why can't you just take me to dinner? But going along what Bert was saying, is there something to, like, we talked about how she broke up with her boyfriend, or her and her boyfriend broke up, I forgot how long ago it was. And, you know, maybe is it an opportunity where he could tell her, you know, let's just get you, I just want to, I don't know how to put this. It can't be a weekend thing because obviously that's too bold. But then I think dinner's too subtle. I think what Bert's saying is right. Like something where you say, I'm just going to take you away, get your mind off of things. You want to go to the blah. And be a little more bold than a dinner. I don't think that's bold enough.
Yeah, I think it's definitely going to be a daytime activity, whether they go, you know, art museum or something like that.
The aquarium or something. Do like a downtown Atlanta day or something.
Something where you have to interact all day long.
Mm-hmm. Or lunch and then Braves, because I know they're in town on Saturday.
But I think her story about the Auburn thing is somehow they were trapped together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you go to the aquarium or you go something, she can always say, hey, well, let's take so-and-so and so-and-so.
Can you get a friend to take you both hostage and leave you locked in the same room together for like 24 hours?
Yeah,
and then
the struggle together will bring you tightness.
I think what everybody's trying to get to, though, is there's got to be something he does where he can get a definitive answer or some clue.
The date. The fake date.
I don't think that's, I mean, friends go to dinner all the time.
Yeah, but he's saying, he's going to say, hey.
So he's going to downplay it and say, hey, look.
I've got a gift card. Do you want to go to dinner?
I'm not going to spend any money on you.
You're creating the trap, right?
Here's a gift card.
You're creating.
You want to use it? You want to pay the tip?
Hey, hold on. They're poly-pessimistic over there. Listen to my story. He's creating the trap. Like, hey, I've got this gift card. Do you want to go? So now he's not boldly saying, he's not asking her on a date. He's inviting her to spend time because of some other circumstance. So he gets her in there, then they have a great dinner, and they have a couple drinks at dinner, universal lubricant, right? Vodka. So they have a couple drinks at dinner, and then that's the perfect opportunity for him or even her to suggest afterwards that they continue their date somewhere else, and by 2 a.m. they're making the beast with two backs.
As roommates, do you two hang out a lot?
Well, you know, a lot of times we get home from work around the same time, so a lot of times we eat at the apartment, you know, if we have, you know, no plans until later.
because some, you know, roommates and some, you know, friends hang out a lot and do things together. I just wondering if going to dinner and hanging out after dinner is unique for you guys.
I mean, we've done it a couple times.
You got to do something bold, a little bit more, I think, than dinner. If you guys are doing that and it's not a special night, then there's no indicator here. Hey, Marianne, good morning. You're on Q100.
Listen, everybody's giving you advice as to let her know what you think about her and that if she reacts this way, you'll know that she's not into you. Well, bottom line is, even if she's not quite into you, you don't want to frighten her. She still could get into you. What I'm saying is take a day on a Saturday and say, let's go for a short trip, nothing very long. I would recommend driving to Chattanooga for the day. Go up to the aquarium there, have lunch, and come back. Just do a one-day thing. Just, you know.
That's going to be a tough sell. Hey, you want to go to Chattanooga to go to the aquarium?
Well, why don't we just go to one in Atlanta?
Do you know the biggest one in the world is right there?
No, I'm talking about a trip into Tennessee on a cool day, a nice summer day, and the mountains are beautiful. Yeah. The drive is beautiful. I'm
Tennessee
working more on the car ride.
Fall in love.
Yeah, just something like, you know what, Tennessee, let's get out of here. Let's just let's just get away from the stress. Let's just go to Chattanooga. I mean, I know it's not a place that we would normally go, but let's just go hang out.
I totally think it has to be something like that. Trapped in the car or, I mean, I don't know.
Trapped in the car.
We keep using the word trapped, and I'm a little scared for his roommate. Everybody keeps saying trapped. Jeff's like, trap her in when the gifts are due. Yeah. Trap her in the car for 2 hours.
Just put her in a box under your bed and feed her and take her out when you want to play with her.
But if you're trying to have a non-date, then you got to have her attention somehow. Because if a guy
asked me to go for a day trip anywhere...
Your roommate who you've known for 2 years.
You would still know it was going in that direction, which I guess is good, because if she says yes, maybe she's into you.
And this could be the subtle, if she says no,
then it
could be the, you know, it's she's defining the line without it being uncomfortable.
Because we know when you're trying to get us alone.
That's the whole point, is for him to find out if she's into him or not. Mm-hmm. So not to dance around it to where it takes forever and she ends up dating somebody else.
Why don't you just do this? When she comes home from work tonight, smelling her clothes. And that will be a perfect indication that you want the relationship to go a little bit further.
Why don't you just drop your pants to your ankles?
Naked on the couch.
Yeah.
As soon as you walk.
Covered in her. Wear her clothes.
Her
take
panties
off all
on
your
head.
Yes.
The Bert Show.
This episode is brought to you by Vinted. Hey, it's Cassie, and this is your heads up that you're probably sitting on a fat stack of cash and you don't even realize it. Y'all, I took a look at my closet the other day, like truly looked at it, and I realized I probably don't wear half of it. It's just sitting there taking up space and guilt-tripping me every time I buy a new piece of clothing, reminding me that, I'm running out of closet space and I have all these beautiful clothes I never ever wear, and it's become this weird pain point in my life. And then I found Vinted. Vinted is a secondhand app that makes it easy for everyday people like you and me to sell pre-loved fashion and earn some extra money. Vinted was the motivation I needed to clean out my closet, and I'm betting it's the same for you. So picture this. You use Vinted. Now you've got a less cluttered closet, a refreshed wardrobe with new pieces that you don't feel guilty about, and you made money. It's a win-win-win. And the extra nice part is that listing items on Vinted is quick and simple, and once an item sells, Vinted creates the prepaid shipping label for you. So if you're ready to clean out your closet and make some extra money, download the Vinted app for free and start listing. With no seller fees, you keep every dollar you earn, and for a limited time, you can enjoy free shipping in the U.S. on Vinted. Can't wait to see what y'all are selling.
So we told you guys that Jeff and I were in Denver for a convention. Jeff actually was there for a couple hours, and I stayed.
He went in with good intentions and then changed his flight and came back early.
So I went out to dinner every night with all these different radio guys. Me and a guy that used to work here and a guy from Florida paid for dinner. Well, we all went out to dinner with another group of about, I don't know, probably 4 or 5 people. And Dylan decided that he was going to pick up the check because Dylan works in Denver now.
Mm-hmm.
So he thought, you know what? It's sort of my hometown. So we've all had a great time here. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to pick up the check, which he did.
This was
Friday night. Yeah, I mean, it's your hometown. It's sort of like.
He was hosting,
right? So he pays the check without incident. We take off. We have a great time. And the next day, I go out with Dylan again. And he says, dude, you know what happened to me last night? He's like, you know that bill that I paid for last night? And I said, yeah, of course. Thanks, man. He said it came to about $140. I mean, it's a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you got 6 or 8 people around. And he left a 14, no, It was $14 tip on a $140 bill, 10%.
Okay.
Ooh, why? Okay.
I don't know. Maybe you didn't think the service was great. I mean, 20% to me
is standard.
It's pretty
least.
Much standard now. 15%
is like your baseline, right?
Who knows why? Maybe he was putting it on the radio station's dime and he was trying to save some money or whatever. But he realized that night when he got home that the server had crossed out the $14 and put another $14 on there to make it a 20% tip.
Now, is that standard for the restaurant that they charge gratuity for like large parties?
I mean, there was only like, there were six or something of us there. I guess total,
but that's a good point. Some say, like
some
six
say
or
like
more.
Six or more, eight or it's usually eight or more mm-hmm. that they'll go ahead and just add the gratuity themselves.
I've never heard six,
but I haven't ever. I don't know about six.
I don't know.
So he couldn't believe it, and there was somebody as he was telling the story the next day that used to be a server and had zero sympathy for him at all because, like Jeff said, mm-hmm. I mean 10%. That's
kind of a middle finger.
That's kind of a middle finger right there.
If he didn't say anything, like, I think a 10% gratuity is fair if you say something to your server during the meal. Like, if there's something, if the service is so bad and you address it and there's no corrective action taken. So if they're slow or rude or whatever and you're like, hey, you know.
They keep getting them wrong or something.
We finish our drinks and we don't see you for 10 minutes. Can you help us out a little more? And the person's like, yeah, I'll see what I can do. Then you almost leave 10% to make a point. Mm-hmm. But 50, I can't imagine ever leaving 15%, less than 15% for no reason. So I kind of, I'm with the other servers.
I think it's illegal, isn't it?
Probably. I mean,
him to have changed it like that?
Yeah, for the server to have changed it and added more money. I mean, what's the difference? Let's say he wanted a 30% tip.
Unless it's restaurant policy for groups that are that size.
Let's say it was.
But let's
say six people. I don't know any restaurant at all that would have that standard for six people.
But my point is that even so, he should have pointed it out to him.
Sure.
Like if it was the restaurant policy to say, excuse me, sir, it is restaurant policy, parties of this much or more, you know, we go ahead and add that standard gratuity and let him know before he signs off on the bill.
Yeah, it just didn't make any sense to me.
Well, I mean, I never was a server, so I don't have the sensitivity that, you know, ex-servers do. I'm somewhere in the middle because I certainly would never not tip someone unless it was bad service, but I'm certainly one who would tip low if it was bad service, you know. But I don't agree with them voluntarily changing that without telling Dylan about it.
Hey, Ashley, you know. You're on Q100. Good morning.
Yeah, I was just going to say the restaurant I work at here in Atlanta, we add 18% for five or more.
Wow.
Separate checks.
But do you tell them when you make a change?
No, you don't make a change. I mean, you can't do that.
No, but what I'm saying is when you provide them with their receipt, like it probably says on there, 18% gratuity for split checks or parties of five or more, right?
Well, it says it on the menu. When we add it, we have to manually handwrite it onto the check we provide for them. So, but once they sign something, I mean, you can't go back and add it. That's ridiculous.
Right, but what I'm saying is if you ever forgot to add it and you had to go back to them, you would tell them there's an 18% gratuity. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't just
You can't. I mean, it's illegal to go back and change anything they signed.
That's
so,
what I'm
saying. You would have to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it would seem like, let's say, if the server felt obligated or felt they deserved 30%, then...
What stops them from doing that?
Right. Mm-hmm. So for five or more, which I've never heard before. Hey, Vince, you're on Q100.
Hey, how you doing this morning?
Okay.
My girlfriend's son has been in the server business for a long time. He's worked at Taco Mac, and now he works at a place called Bogey's. He got let go from Taco Mac because all he did was highlight what the customer had put down, which is illegal for them to do that.
So you can't even put your pen to the receipt?
No, you cannot.
Wow. Hmm.
And that's why he got let go because of that, because he just highlighted because it was written so lightly.
Yeah, I was always taught, like, if you are leaving a tip and then you decide to leave more or less, that you should scribble it out and put your initials right by it. And that sort of makes it okay.
Yeah, that is correct. That is correct.
Okay.
So, but, yeah, what he did was illegal, so.
Wow.
Yeah.
So Dylan can go back to the restaurant.
Sure he could.
Without
he
a
should.
Doubt.
I don't think he's going to, but yeah, to wake up the next morning and go, wait a second, that wasn't me, man.
But Jeff, you've said now, as you know, a restaurant owner and that sort of thing, that you would rather hear about it. Like that restaurant owner would rather have Dylan go back there and tell them about it
Yeah, I mean,
so that you could correct it, right?
From that point of view, definitely, because you want to make sure your employee is not doing that to 100 different people. But I also think that if you're somebody's only, I would like to think that if our friend Dylan is only leaving a 10% tip, that the service was
really bad,
poor, and we don't just have a really cheap friend.
Hey, Lee, real quick, you're on Q100.
Yeah, I was just going to let you know that most restaurants can do a gratuity on any number of people as long as it's on the menu, but that the party also has the right to refuse the gratuity. And if the server went back and added it on there, that's actually credit card fraud.
Mm-hmm. The first thing you said there was what? That the server can add?
Some restaurants have a policy that they can add 18% gratuity on. And if it's one check, it has to be every check.
Yeah, you can, as long as you disclose it, you can add whatever you want to.
I would think so.
You could charge somebody for using a fork as long as it's disclosed.
Mm-hmm. It's on the menu, then yeah, it's fair game.
Right.
Get it? The Bird Show.
We all made an agreement with each other a couple of weeks ago that we were all going to go 24 hours and write down the little lies that we tell throughout the entire day.
Big and small, right?
Big and small.
Well, we have to, I don't know if the reason we did it is because we have to determine what constitutes a lie, because we had an issue like omission. Is that a lie?
Yeah, what was
I
the
said that would be four? My biggest defense.
Because
there was like four categories.
Not saying anything.
Yeah, there's the little.
On that list. Wasn't there four categories?
I'm looking for the list right now. Do you have it over there?
I could probably find it, but there was
It was like a white lie.
Yeah, and then there was the.
Omission, white lie.
Blatant.
Big ass, bold ass lie.
That's
like blatant. I know for sure that I'm telling you a lie. And what was the fourth one?
Hang on. I'll find them.
I can't remember.
But on average.
All right. Here are the types of lies. The white lie, the big lie, the exaggeration, and the omission.
So what's the difference between the big and the exaggeration?
Exaggeration is just, it's based in truth, but you just exaggerate it, where the big lie is just, you flat out lie.
Fabricated.
Mm-hmm. Like, okay. I think a big lie would be... Like, for me, would be, like, I graduated from Syracuse University because I went there, but I didn't graduate. So that's a pretty big lie. The exaggeration would be, no, that would be the exaggeration. The big lie would be I graduated from Harvard.
Right.
Because there's no basis of truth.
Mm-hmm.
I've never even been to Harvard except for walking past the campus once. You know what I mean? So
the omission one is easy. I mean, you just don't claim at all that you went to Syracuse or any school at all. Somebody asks you, what school do you go to? I never went to college. No, that's a lie.
No, it's a lie.
That's a lie.
An omission would be if somebody says, hey, where did you go to school? And I said, oh, I went to Ganning University in Pennsylvania, and I took some classes at Onondaga Community College.
And just left it out completely.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Just didn't mention Syracuse for whatever reason. Maybe I'm embarrassed of it, maybe whatever, blah, blah, blah. That'd be the omission. But those are the four categories.
So we're just going to, you know, take account of how many times we do that throughout the day?
Throughout the day.
Okay.
And what was the number? Do you have that stat there also? Because it was something, it was pretty stunning. Like how many times you lie?
Well, I think what you have to do, the way the experiment works, is we would all have to predict today, or whatever day we're going to do this, how many lies of those four categories we would tell in the next 24 hours.
Okay.
And the surprising amount, or the surprising fact, is that when you come in, it's usually over double what you said it would be. So, like, I would say, let's say I'm going to be awake probably 16 or 17 hours today, so 18 hours. So I would probably tell at the most 9 lies, like once every other hour. And that could be as simple as, hey, are you walking by the kitchen? Like, maybe if I get up to go to the kitchen, I just don't feel like bringing, you know, Bert a bag of chips back.
Right. Say no.
No, I'm not.
All right, let's try to predict how
most.
Many. Going into the 24 hours.
Wow.
How many times do you guys think that you will lie or do the omission thing?
I'm actually going to say less than 9. I'd like to say 7.
7 for Jeff.
7 is my number.
Wendy.
No, 24 hours.
And keep in mind, Wendy, you ditched Hobby last night in the middle of a bar and left our band. It's a mission right there.
So you're going to have to lie about. You're going to have to lie about what happened to you sometime today.
I'll go with 10.
You made me sound
10.
So pathetic right there.
10.
10?
10.
10. 10 for Wendy.
10.
Okay.
Jen.
Aiden high.
I'm good at the omission one. I'm going with 12.
12.
Mm-hmm.
Melissa. Mm. Melissa's omission is going to be through the roof here.
Omission you can is tell what I do.
Melissa closes up. I mean, well, she's got a thing where she shuts down.
If you don't have anything nice to say, then just don't sit like a bump on a log. You said 7, Jeff, and you said 12.
$1, Bob.
Why are we predicting our numbers?
Because we're going
to
count.
Interesting to see how many we actually... And you got to write down all day long today what the lies were and bring them to the table tomorrow.
I'm going to go between them. I'll say 9.
9?
Mm-hmm.
I'll go with 10.
Okay.
I think it'll be 10 lies throughout the entire day.
Okay. Is your family back in town?
They are not. Oh, that's a lie. They are. There's one. No, they're not.
Well, that's going to affect your number because you're not going to be around people to actually lie to them. So,
unless, like, Stacy calls and I don't feel like picking up and I say, oh, yeah, I was really getting bad reception or something like that.
Is that a lie?
I do that all the time.
If your phone rings and you let it go to voicemail but you're available to talk, is that a lie?
Yeah. Really?
Yes. Well, and you...
Well, you can't screen phone calls?
Well, if she says, how come you didn't pick up what I called before? And I say, I didn't even realize that you called. What if even though I saw it go to voicemail.
My ringer was off.
That's a bold-faced lie. Right.
But what if you never even have to address it with her? What if you're what if you're in your car... And you're doing nothing but singing along to the Sound of Music soundtrack, like you often do. And your phone rings.
It happens.
You're available to take it.
And I don't.
But you hit ignore. That's technically a lie, right?
I think that's a lie, because you are available.
Because you're like, I'm going to pretend I'm not busy. So I'm going to push the button on the top.
That's technically a lie.
I'm going to have to reevaluate my number.
You're on The Burt Show.